This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Football fans, I'm sure we all love an action-packed, high-scoring NFL game, but the latest no-brainer from DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, you'll be a winner once single points are scored. New customers who bet just $1 on any team to score can win $100 in free bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps. Bet $1 on any team to score and win $100 in free bets. If they score, you score with promo code FANRUN in all caps this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older and Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line. 1-800-889-9789.
Fans deserve.
I consider myself a realist, all right? But in philosophical terms, I'm what's called a pessimist.
The show that the city needs.
This town deserves a better class of sports radio. And we're going to give it to them.
This is Talk Sports.
Leave one wolf alive, and the sheep are never safe.
Back in the booth, back on the airwaves, coming at you live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. John Reed, Draven Fine, Hayden Wallen. Cam run a little late, had a dentist appointment this morning. As we come in on this Monday, what is it, the 30th? 29th? What are we looking
29th.
At? 29th. Last Monday of November. Hope you all had a great Thanksgiving. How are we? Thumbs up from Hayden. Draven, how are you, my friend?
Pretty damn bad. I'm pretty damn bad, John, to be honest with you. Thanksgiving was rough. Got into a little fight with the uncle. He just kept running his mouth. You know, most of my family knows, hey, just kind of let him do his thing. Because I don't get to watch it with my dad, which is like the one game out of the year I don't get to watch with pops. Got to go to my, you know, mom's family, a lot of, a couple Packers fans, a couple of different fans. They like to give me a hard time.
Sure.
For the most part, though, they know to stay away. But I always have this one uncle. Uncle Ralph, man.
Draven.
He's always got to say something. Right after a heartbreaking loss, he's got to say something, man.
Was Draven the kid that couldn't control his emotions growing up, that if he had like a temper problem, got in a fight?
Yeah, pretty much.
That was kind of me, too, until like I was 5 or 6 years old. But had those cousins you couldn't really give a hard time because they were a little crazy.
Yeah.
So Uncle Ralph. I have an Uncle Ralph as well.
How about that?
Giving it
Ralph
to you?
Just seems like an uncle's name, doesn't it? Just a very uncle name.
At least
name.
A southern uncle that was probably born sometime around the 60s or 70s. So Uncle Ralph giving it to you?
Yeah. And I try to keep my cool. It's Thanksgiving, John. I don't want to make a scene.
Sure.
I don't want people fighting. But you say enough, man. You keep coming at me, I'm going to go at you. And then I yelled at him. We're kind of going a little back and forth.
Sure.
I just cussed him out. Just like, you know, just told him what I thought. Told him what I thought. Of course, mom come up to me afterwards. It's like, hey, what are you doing?
What do you mean
you told
him?
It's Thanksgiving.
What do you mean you told him what you thought? You got personal?
Got a little personal.
Talked about his wife?
No.
Or ex-wife?
Nothing like that, no.
This is why Aunt Linda divorced you, Ralph?
Not that personal. Not that deep. He's a football coach. So I just kind of made sure he knew. I don't think he knows football very well. Just kind of called out his football expertise.
Started talking about this is why he hasn't advanced past the Pee Wee level of football.
pretty much, yeah.
How'd he take it? Yeah. Challenge it to a fight?
Nah, nothing like that.
Okay.
Just a little back and forth.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry your Thanksgiving was not good. I feel like the Cowboys haven't had a lot of luck on Thanksgiving the last six or seven years.
They've lost three in a row.
Usually some disappointing ones involved in it, too. Either a beatdown or...
Never went to overtime, though.
That's good.
Overtime.
You can check that one off the list.
The highest watch game ever. Ever. It was that, Aiden. The highest watch game since, was it 1990 or something? Something crazy?
Yeah.
It had to go like that. It did. Of course it did.
Yep. Well...
I think it's about time to hit the panic button on the Cowboys, John. I think it's about time to hit the panic button, man.
We'll get into the NFL throughout the show. Hayden, did you have a good Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
Good? Good to hear.
Yeah.
Good to hear.
A man of few words.
Cowboys hurt me on Thanksgiving, John. You know.
The overhit. I think that might be the only NFL pick I got right all weekend, but the overhit in the Thanksgiving game.
There you go.
51.5. Easy money.
So, Draven, they've lost three in a row on Thanksgiving. Does that mean Dak won his first two games and lost the last three? Because they said he was 2-2 in that game.
Didn't play last year.
Okay.
Yeah.
The big news in the sports world, Lincoln Riley. We had him linked to LSU, surprisingly, over the last month, to the point where he pulls one of the best heel moves of all time, cutting off a reporter to be like, whoa. I am not going to be the next LSU coach. LSU fans, mad. Oklahoma fans, happy. Oklahoma players, happy. Then the news comes out the next morning, well, I'm not going to be the next head coach at LSU because I'm going to be the next head coach at USC. See ya. Which, you know, I think is obviously a power move for USC. It kind of, you know, people had kind of started downplaying that job over the last couple of months. Like, I maintained I thought it was a top five job still just because, yeah, I understand, like, it's L.A. and they don't maybe care about college football, but they will if you're a winner. And I think you have to play an exciting brand of football, and I think Lincoln Riley is going to do that, or at least we expect him to go out there and bring that offense and have an exciting style of football. But it's still Los Angeles. It's still a conference that USC should run. You can't say the same thing about Oklahoma anymore. Like, I think at the very least, this should be at least an eye-opening moment for Oklahoma. I wonder if they look around and say, ah, man, this SEC thing might have been a bad decision. Because if I'm Lincoln Riley, that played hugely into my decision to get out of Oklahoma. Like, we're going to a whole different weight class. We're going to be recruiting against powerhouses.
Yeah, and if you go have like 3 or 4, 8, 9 win seasons, I think they're probably going to fire you. If you're not the same winner you were in the Big 12, winning at least 10 games a year, I think they're going to be thinking about firing you.
If you're Oklahoma?
Yeah, if you're Oklahoma, when they go to the SEC, now they might change their requirements now.
Sure.
But at this point, I think if an Oklahoma coach is going 7, 8, 9 wins a year for 3 or 4 years in a row, they're going to be like, okay, we can find somebody else that's going to win at least 10 games.
Well, we'll find out what they think about that change in expectations with whomever they hire here. If they swing for the fences and, you know, connect, then maybe it does stay that way. But if they have to take a step down and realize, wait a second, we might have made a mistake. We might be going from the biggest fish in a, you know, pretty large pond. The Big 12 can always at least look around and say, hey, at least we ain't the Pac-12. I'm like, hey, we're not that far off the ACC. Now they're looking around and they're coming to a, you know, where the big boys play in the SEC, and their coach was like, you know what, I don't want any part of this. And really, I don't really want any part of it at LSU either. I'm good on that as well. Like, I'm going to go to Southern California.
Oklahoma should back out of this. They should not go to the SEC. That's a disaster, man.
Seems too late.
There's no big coaching names out there. You say, oh, they could get a big name. Who are they going to get? The number one name on their list was Cliff Kingsbury. That's how desperate they are. They have nobody. They're thinking, well, maybe Cliff would come back to the college, even though he's 9-2 in the NFL and doing great things.
I don't buy that at all. Like,
exactly, that's kind of how bad it is. That's the low point it's reached, where it's like, oh, there's no names. They're trying to get the hottest name in the NFL right now.
It seems
going to happen.
It seems weird. I don't know if that's Cliff Kingsbury's agent asking for a favor from Adam Schefter, and like Schefter's kind of at the point where we're like, well, we saw kind of how you handled the Bruce Allen stuff in Washington, so maybe like, you know. All these reporters, these national guys with the scoops, you got to play the game and you got to help out a couple times and do some favors for some agents to keep the information. So I don't know what Kingsbury's end game was there. Like, is he looking for a raise? Is that Oklahoma putting it out there just to be like, hey, we're going to throw a couple big names out there? Because like Draven said, once you get past Bob Stoops, you start looking around and you're like, well, who the hell are we going to have on our list? It would have made sense to maybe just promote Alex Grinch. Except, like, Kingsbury's taking him, and he's probably not ready to be a head coach, especially, like, at Oklahoma.
He's taking most of his staff.
Kingsbury's taking him or Lincoln Riley?
No. Riley's taking him.
Yeah.
Riley's taking him to USC.
Yeah. I saw them get on a plane this morning.
Right. And, like, you know, You got Oklahoma fans on the message boards, you know, talking about whether or not it's legal for him to take state employees with him. They're going through it. They haven't ever, you know, had to deal with this. I think they said since 1947, they haven't had a coach leave their school for another school. Like, this is the first time it's happened in 70 years. I mean, it's the first coaching search they've even had to do in football since, you know, 1998. Whenever they went in and got Bob Stoops.
And how many decommits have they already had? They had one five-star quarterback. He said he's out already.
Running back, too.
Looks like he's going to go to USC. I mean,
well, that's the thing. Is like Lincoln Riley, I don't think he was playing the long game, but maybe he started like whenever he was out here recruiting these guys, because they had, you know what, a five-star quarterback, a five-star running back, another highly ranked wide receiver that I think was like number 40-something in the country, all from like, you know, basically L.A. I wonder if he got there and was recruiting them. I was like, hey, this is pretty nice. Like, yeah, come to Oklahoma. I'll put you in my offense. We'll make this happen. But then he's like, maybe I should just go to USC and put these guys in my offense. And look, I mean, there's a lot of layers here. Ultimately, this is really good news for Tennessee.
Is it?
I mean, I think I've said it last year, you know, with Sarkisian's hire at Texas. You had to root for him. And this is before they were in the SEC, obviously. But, like, you really need, if you're Tennessee, you really need USC and Texas to be good again. Because think of what you just said. You know, three of the highest-rated guys in California were leaving, like they always do. They're going to Oklahoma, which didn't really affect Tennessee, you know, until they got in the SEC at least. But, like, we need those guys to stay at USC because otherwise they go to Alabama or they go to Georgia.
Yep.
Or go to Clemson, if you look at that, right? Like, Clemson's recruiting nationally, too. They're in your back door. Like, you're competing with them. They're one of your biggest recruiting rivals, just, you know, obviously by location and proximity. You need USC to be good again.
Yep.
Because Tennessee's not really recruiting the same guys out there at LA. Like, we're not going out there and getting five stars from California. I don't know if we'll ever do that again. You know, Fulmer did it a couple times. But, like, oh, you know, Kiffin maybe could have done it here, but, you know, his 1 year. But, like, we ain't doing that, really. So you need, like, to kind of have the balance restored and, like, USC to keep those guys from going to Alabama. And you need Texas to maybe keep some of those guys home and away from Alabama and away from Georgia. So, like, I do think a USC that's good is better for the health of college football overall. It will raise the Pac-12. It will maybe, you know, and, you know, again, when we're looking at the layers here, there's a lot to talk about. Because if I'm Washington, I got to take my head coaching vacancy a lot more seriously now that USC has hired Lincoln Riley. If I'm Washington and I got some money to throw around and I got a pretty proud history and I got a pretty big fan base, I got to go out there and try to hire somebody big. And then we're talking about, you know, the ripple effect. Like, LSU is still open. Miami's still open.
Virginia Tech.
Virginia Tech's still open. You know, do we think that all those, you know, the three of those schools are either going to hire Group 5 or coordinators? Because it seems unlikely that all three of them do. I mean, Virginia Tech, it makes the most sense. Like, hey, go get Jamie Chadwell. But if you're LSU, you're still going to be, like, swinging for the fences, maybe now more than ever. If you're Washington, I think they've been linked to Harsin and Campbell, right? Matt Campbell. Now Matt Campbell makes a lot of sense for Oklahoma just to kind of
– that's what I was thinking.
Stay in the area, go to, you know, one of the top 10 programs of all time.
Washington makes no sense. I don't know why. Washington's better, but, I mean, is it that much better than Iowa State?
I don't know. I mean, you could go to – I don't know. Like, Washington is a better school, obviously, than Iowa State, and it's a, you know, better recruiting ground. And
I would look at it as like, hey, stay in the Big 12 and have a chance to dominate. And
just depends on how you view the
expanded playoffs, whatever.
Just depends on how you view the Big 12 moving forward.
Yeah,
we still haven't really talked about the ripple effect that's ultimately going to have on all those schools. Like when you're bringing in Cincinnati instead, which maybe that means Cincinnati will keep Luke Fickell. I don't know. He hasn't gone yet.
I mean, we got to talk about scale 1 to 10, like Hopple to Oklahoma. I know we've talked about it before, but like as we sit right now, after that's now official, like the position is open, how do you feel?
Yeah, let's catch a break. We'll come back. We'll talk about Josh Heupel and his chances of going or at least getting approached by Oklahoma, because I said it'd be good for Tennessee, you know, just Texas and USC maybe trying to get back to help. And, you know, ultimately Oklahoma is coming to the SEC, so if Oklahoma goes from a 10-win program to a 7- or 8-win program, ultimately that helps Tennessee as well. But there is the other side of it with Josh Heupel and, you know, him being a last national championship winning quarterback and them maybe not having much of a hot board. We'll talk about that after the break. We're broadcasting live in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Only 100 calories. It won't weigh you down. Please drink responsibly. We love White Claw Hard Seltzer, made from a gluten-free alcohol base and a hint of fruit flavor. Please drink responsibly. Hayden, send us a break. We'll come back. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Yep. Apologies to the people with listening to the podcast. I forgot to restart it as I was trying to get the Periscope up and running. But Mark Stoops to Oklahoma is the topic. But again, do you want to follow your brother Bob, who was obviously a legend there? Do you want to kind of be in his shadow? Because it seems weird. And it would be funny if Lincoln Riley just addressed this in his press conference. Like, you know what? I like coaching at Oklahoma, but I didn't like how Bob Stoops is always just hanging around, just lingering around. Like, he was in the meeting whenever I'm telling my team I'm leaving. Now he's, like, right there ready to be the interim coach again. I didn't really like him hanging around all the time.
Like he's a damn AD or something.
Right. If I'm Mark, do I want to deal with that as well? Big brother there telling me how to do it and how things work here? Maybe. I don't know. Perhaps. And then you look at the rest of the list, and like I don't know who makes sense.
On here, they had Brent Venables from Clemson, defense coordinator, just because he was there at Oklahoma from 1999 to 2011.
Well, the same things they say about Josh Heupel, you could say about Venables. You know, there's bad blood there because he was fired. So was Venables.
Yep. Yep.
At least Josh Heupel. Like, I mean, if you're getting down to it, who's a better coaching candidate, if you are Oklahoma, the guy that has never been a head coach. And Brent Venables, or at least Josh Heupel, who has coached, been a head coach for what, four seasons now? Has had four winning records?
Mm-hmm.
I think everyone would look and say that, at the very least, Josh Heupel did the job he was supposed to do in 2021 for Tennessee. Some would say, you know, you exceeded expectations. I think that would be fair. But I'm saying even the most, you know, critical people would say, yeah, you at least did what you were supposed to do. I don't know how Brent Venables is a better coaching candidate than Josh Heupel would be. Who else did you say was on their list?
They have Lane Kiffin. Lane Train to Oklahoma.
I mean, it would be shocking to me if Lane Kiffin didn't get a look at either Oklahoma, LSU, or Miami. Like, if he's at Ole Miss next year, you'd have to be surprised.
Yeah.
Maybe he will be, though. Maybe he likes it there, or maybe like none of these schools want to hire him. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe Mississippi's the perfect place for him. They're big enough to maybe, you know, put competitive teams out there, win 10 games, be a top 10 program, but you don't have to deal with like the same type of boosters and old winning coaches and culture and everybody there. They're just happy to be relevant, especially after what happened with Hugh Freeze. Luke Fickell's gotten, you know, linked to LSU and Oklahoma just because he's the biggest coaching name. But, like, if I'm him, my situation hasn't changed. I want to be either in the North or just stay at Cincinnati.
Jay Norvell.
When I say in the North, I guess I mean just been the Big 12. Who?
Jay Norvell was another name.
The hell is Jay Norvell?
Head coach of Nevada.
Too late to Mike.
Really?
That's yeah, that's no, on the list. He's a name on the list. He was co-offensive coordinator under Stoops from 2008 to 2014.
So is this list just based on people connected to Oklahoma?
I mean, that's what pretty much every list is usually made up based on, isn't it, when you have these rumors coming out?
I mean, sometimes there'll be some guys without any ties, but I guess almost anybody with a tie will get put on the list as well. There'll be some guys without ties. Like Lane Kiffin's not a guy that has any ties to but Oklahoma. He's just a big name. Right, same as Luke Fickell. Same as Campbell. I mean, Florida, you know, kind of got buried in the weekend, but Florida, you know, makes their hire with Billy Napier. Obviously, he didn't have any ties to Florida. They get their guy and kind of set off the wheels in motion. LSU, you know, who looks worse here, LSU or Oklahoma? Because LSU made their move, you know, pretty early, as did USC. And USC, you're kind of looking around like, you guys fired Helton, like, what, week three, week four? Like, what the hell have you guys been doing? And they're like, oh, this is what we've been doing. We've had this ready. And Mike Bone is, you know, pretty damn good AD. We probably should have hired him whenever we had the chance. We had the chance to hire him, and we chose John Curry instead.
Yep.
Mike Bone seems to know what the hell he's doing, and he got out there, and he made a big hire. But like now, here you are, and you know Oklahoma gets their first taste of reality that like, hey, maybe they're not the big dogs anymore. But LSU, like, they're just down there, like, what the hell are we doing? Like, yeah. their message boards, Tiger Droppings, was having a meltdown. Like, they didn't realize that they were the smokescreen the whole time. Like, they had that epiphany that, like, oh, wait, we got played. We had to deal with, like, the teases. We had to deal with Oklahoma State calling Baton Rouge, which was a pretty nice troll by Oklahoma State as they were beating Oklahoma to play calling Baton Rouge. Hey, your coach is about to leave. Our coach always tries to leave. He just can't ever go anywhere. So, like, we're going to keep our guy.
Isn't Garth a Oklahoma State guy, though?
He is. You think that's why they were playing it?
Maybe.
I guess that's possible. Maybe they play it all the time and we just don't
notice. Like they probably play fringe low places, though.
Maybe they play.
I hate Tennessee does that, to be honest with you.
Plays friends in low places.
Yeah, in the fourth quarter, I'm pretty sure Oklahoma State actually does that every game.
Really?
We just steal everybody's thing, and it's not even cool. Everybody puts their lots of. That was the most embarrassing thing about the Georgia game is all these like little Bulldog fans like doing their stupid phone thing in the fourth quarter, and then all the Tennessee fans like, oh, it looks so cool, but it's literally all the Georgia fans doing it, and now we got looks like Sanford Stadium and Neyland Stadium down here when we played them here a few weeks ago in the fourth quarter. The Georgia fans are getting hyped. They're like, oh, we took over their stadium.
Yeah. I haven't seen any of that.
Tennessee fans are kind of stupid sometimes, John.
I think you could say the same.
I think so.
I mean, I think you could say the same about any fan base.
Golly, that pissed me off.
I think you could say the same thing about any fan base. But either way, I don't know if Oklahoma State always plays calling Baton Rouge. It was news, you know, news and noteworthy because they were playing it to troll Lincoln Riley, it seemed like, on Saturday. But now LSU has to wonder, where do we go from here? What do we do? Do we scramble? Do we hire Lane Kiffin? What do we do? Oklahoma wondering, what do we do? And here we are at Tennessee, thinking we are going to get to watch the chaos from the outside. Because we already had enough, right? LSU, Florida, Virginia Tech, Miami, USC. Like, we had enough of the silly coaching search, like, openings and chaos to get our hit of dopamine. For us to feel like, hey, what a cool coaching search. Look at us. Let's set back, let's prop our feet up and watch. And now Oklahoma's open. And we talked about the possibility a month or so ago, but we didn't really buy it as a possibility, right? Like, Lincoln Riley to LSU, really? Does that make sense? And
sure enough,
I guess it made a little sense in the sense that like he was unhappy at Oklahoma or was seeing the writing on the wall, but now here we are. Oklahoma is open. And how far down the list do you have to get at Oklahoma before you get to Josh Heupel?
Not very far.
You think he's still going to USC like today if they win against Oklahoma State?
I was wondering, how long do you think this deal was in place? I was kind of curious about that too, because it feels like if it's like right after the game, had to be something they were talking about weeks, months ago, right? I mean, you can't just all of a sudden, hey, come to USC after that loss. Like
that's a good question, Hayden, because they would be preparing for a conference championship game, but still have an outside shot of making the playoff.
Yep.
But at the same time, early signing period is what? Is it the 15th this year?
Yeah, it's around that time usually,
I mean, it's like usually like right there, the last teens.
I think it's usually 20s. Around the 20th.
Yeah, I was going to say the last teens, early 20s, but I saw it was
it might be earlier
the
this
15th
year.
This year, but maybe I'm wrong on the date, Draven, see if you can find it. I know you're not very good at Google, but either way, like, Lincoln Riley is up against the clock, like 2 weeks, 3 weeks at the most.
It's December 15th.
Okay, I thought so. So it's a little bit earlier than usual.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because like Hayden said, usually it's like that 20th, 21st, 19th, somewhere around there. So like
they made the playoff. Like what do you even do if you're USC? You're just like, well, I guess we're just gonna stay here, wait it out.
Your fans would be having a meltdown, and you'd be like trying to keep a secret. Like, hey guys, we got our guy, but like he's busy coaching right now, and maybe Oklahoma goes on and wins a national championship, and Lincoln's like, I guess I'm gonna stay. Sorry, it's a really fascinating question, Hayden. One that I haven't seen post. I'm probably gonna tweet it later and steal it. Not going to tag you in it either.
Wow.
This is your punishment for being late for 3 weeks straight. I'm just taking your idea. The people listening to the show will be like, oh, good point, Hayden, but no. I'm going to tweet it out.
That's fine. You got more followers than me, so.
Yeah. That's good of you to not worry about the credit, to just want the topic to be discussed. Very selfless of you. But it's a good question because, I mean, like, they should be playing for a Big 12 championship right now. Is he going to leave conference championship week?
And wouldn't it be against Oklahoma State again, or is that I saw people saying that, or was Baylor in no matter what?
No, Oklahoma. If Oklahoma would have won, they'd have had a rematch.
Wow.
Yeah.
That'd be fun.
Yeah.
Could you imagine?
So I guess like was there another team that lost? Was it Iowa State lose or Baylor?
Baylor lost? Won.
Baylor and I have gotten in over Oklahoma since they've been head to head. I guess Oklahoma would have. Would they not have gotten in over Oklahoma State? Did Oklahoma State beat Baylor?
Oklahoma State beat Baylor. Okay. That's what happened. So Oklahoma would be at the top with.
Okay. Yeah. Was there a point differential thing? I thought that's why Baylor had kicked that last field goal. But either way, if they said that on the broadcast, they obviously know better. I thought Baylor was trying to win that tiebreaker for point differential. But either way, Lincoln Riley lost. It would have been really funny had he lost, like or won, and be like, yeah, you know what? I don't need this Big 12 championship. I got a new job. It's going to pay me $10, $11, $12 million because we haven't seen the contract figures yet, have we?
No, I haven't seen anything.
I mean, he's going to be making $10 million a year at least.
Wasn't the rumor that LSU offered him 12?
The rumor I saw was that LSU's like had to go get like booster approval and like all approval from the money to basically offer him $12 or $13 million a year. Which I don't know if there's an official offer with that or what, but like again. Coaching money is going to be crazy, and all these big coaches are going to be making $10 million. And if you're going to hire one from a big school, you're probably going to be paying a premium, and Lincoln Riley's probably going to be making $10, $11, $12 million. This doesn't usually happen in college football. Yesterday was historical. Can you think of any other big-time coaches that just left their school to go to another school? Because, I mean, like, Jimbo did at Florida State, but like Jimbo was what 6-6 or 5-6 at Florida State that year.
It was over. You could kind of feel it was right. Over.
Like both parties were just kind of like, eh, whatever. Or Florida State was like, yeah, go ahead. I guess it's fine. Like Oklahoma is blindsided and shell shocked, and again coming off of a 10-win season and a number 7 recruiting class in the country. Well, not anymore, as it starts falling apart.
Yeah.
And Lincoln's going to be, easily able to flip a couple of those California guys, put USC somewhere in the top 12, top 13 in recruiting, and they'll be like a big-time win for them.
So you think he's going to dominate USC? What's your expectations with him at USC?
I don't know.
He does kind of fold in these big games in the Big 12. I mean, yeah, I feel like you have less big games in the Pac-12 at least.
He's made, what, 3 playoffs and has gone 0-3 in the playoffs?
Yeah.
That Georgia game was close, though, wasn't it?
They should have won that game, though.
Yeah.
I thought that was a choke job. If I give you a 31-14 lead against that offense, like, yeah, you should win that game. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's tier two, but the top of tier two. Kind of we talked about college basketball last week. Like, he's tier two. He doesn't have a national championship, so I can't put him at tier one. He hasn't won a playoff game. So, like, he's behind Kirby even in that regard. Because I almost put Kirby like in tier one now. I mean, I know he doesn't have a national title, but hell, he might as well. But Lincoln's right there. And maybe at USC we'll think of him, you know, better. Because, again, in the Big 12, hasn't had really any pressure. And then we also, like, you know, don't give him full credit for what he did to build Oklahoma. It's kind of like Jim Harbaugh said about Ryan Day, which this is one of the better mic drop moments after my Michigan Wolverines beat the hell out of them. And he's like, you know, talking about, they're asking about, you know, the trash talk that Ohio State's been doing. He's like, yeah, some people, you know, are standing on third base and, you know, act like they hit a triple. Or, you know, born on third base and act like they hit a triple, which is exactly what Ryan Day did. Like, if I'm Jim Harbaugh, I'm like, chill out, Ryan Day. You haven't done anything, bro. Like, Urban had you set up for some success.
I hate Jim Harbaugh.
You hate Jim Harbaugh? I kind of like Jim Harbaugh. And I like watching.
I mean, he's been a loser his entire career. He gets one win, and now he thinks he's like Mr. Big Tough Guy and like can trash talk all these people. We'll wait till next year, buddy. We'll wait till next year. Ohio State's gonna wax that ass.
Doesn't matter. He got the one,
and they act like last year. Last year, Ohio State would have absolutely drugged them.
Sure. Okay.
I mean, they ran from him, and he's acting like. Like, remember the quote last year where he was like, or Ryan Day was like, oh, I'm about to score 100 on Michigan. He's like, oh, well, they didn't. But if they would have last year.
If I'm Ohio State, I'm like, hey, that game should have been played at the Chew. They skipped their trip to Columbus. They don't get to have 2 straight games at Michigan. Is that how it worked? Do they actually?
Yeah, I think that's right.
What? Wait, really?
Well, I mean, I don't know. So. Since the COVID, like, they canceled it. And, like, I don't know, yep. I didn't know if they pushed that or
that's
not.
That's right.
I mean, I will give Harbaugh credit, though. Like, they were the tougher team on Saturday.
There's no better way to beat that team, too, than just
running the ball down their throat.
Yeah, literally. Just running it right down their throat.
But like Ryan Day. But like Ryan Day, I don't put him in tier one. Yeah, you've won a lot at Ohio State, but like you haven't had to build anything. You've had to keep it running. Now, can Lincoln Riley do that? I think so. I think he can. But he's got to prove it.
You should dominate the Pac-12.
He should.
100%. Easily.
100%. Like, he should be winning the Pac-12 maybe as soon as next year. But, like, year two?
I would say that, as soon as next year.
I would say, like, his floor expectation will be eight and a half wins next year. Like, you should win nine.
I mean, USC is – they're pretty terrible, man. What are they, 4-7? And they play Cal, like, at 11 o'clock next Saturday, a rescheduled game.
Their makeup game, yeah.
But 11 o'clock.
Is he a coach that game?
I would imagine they still have some talents, you know, that they've still – I guess Helton didn't recruit very well there. But, like, with the guys are going to get in, and, like, Lincoln Riley at USC probably passes Tennessee for, you know, standing in the transfer portal. Like, I mean, if you're an offensive player, you're probably going to pick there, right? You know what I mean? Like, we thought Tennessee might be the number one or number two, like, destination for transfer guys. I would say USC catapults to number one on that list now. If you're in the portal and you can play. Now, assuming you don't, like, just have, you know, ties to the South or Eastern time zone. If you're looking for opportunity, I mean, it'd be hard not to go to play for a guy who had two straight Heisman winners and another guy finished second. Hell, he might take Caleb Williams with him. That would be something if he just pillaged like his own roster. Like, hey, come to USC. You get one-time transfer now. You're upset I left? Come play for me.
He probably will do that. Why wouldn't you do that, honestly?
You would think a couple people would want to. But it depends on how they feel like that. I don't know if you guys saw the article in The Athletic. Some players pretty upset. Said Lincoln basically just talked for a minute and then left. Didn't like have a big goodbye. Basically was like, I hope you guys understand. But
see ya.
This place kind of sucks, guys.
See ya.
You're cold right now, right? Well, it's like 75 degrees in L.A. You know. Got to do what I got to do.
What they want him to do? Give a big speech, start crying. Sure. Get all emotional.
Hayden, are you worried about Josh Heupel to Oklahoma?
No.
In the sense that you don't think he'll be a candidate or that you don't care if he goes?
I don't think him and Bob Stoops get along. So I don't think that Bob Stoops will be like pursuing Josh Heupel unless there was like no other option.
I mean, it's a good way to mend fences though, to be like, hey, son, come home. Like, you can now run the cat. You can, you know, have the keys of the castle.
But Josh Heupel, wasn't he like never – he was like never Stoops guy though, really, right? I mean, didn't he – wasn't he like a transfer in playing quarterback and Leach brought him in or something like that?
I mean,
and he was there for like 1 year?
I don't
– I mean, what my point is, he wasn't like some guy who Stoops like went out and got from like recruited him for 6 years in high school and like was slobbering over him.
Yeah, but he gave him a job too. I mean, he was his coordinator. He let him be his coordinator too. Like, have, you know, gave him a big-time coaching opportunity. Like, I mean, I feel like – I don't know what the relationship is. You know, there's reportedly bad blood because he was the one that got fired. But, yeah, I mean, he was a transfer. He only played at Oklahoma for 2 years. Yeah. Or I don't know if he's a transfer. I guess I should say he only played at Oklahoma for 2 years, which and could mean that somebody was just ahead of him. I don't know. I don't know what his background was when he was recruited.
I mean, I wouldn't be devastated if they did take him. I mean – just from the recruiting aspect this year, I mean, like, I think I don't care like what kind of scheme we do. Like, we just literally just don't have the horses like at all, even on defense. Like, we're not recruiting at all.
Bob Stoops, of course, won a national title with Josh Heupel as his quarterback. Gave him his first coaching gig as a grad assistant after his, you know, attempt to play professional football was over. He went to Arizona for a year and then came back for Oklahoma for, you know, basically the next 8 years, from 06 to 14. Brought him in as a quarterback's coach in 06, and in 2011 was promoted to co-offensive coordinator. So, man, it's a long time to be with somebody for that not to be your guy. Now, could there have been some bad blood whenever he gets fired in 2014? Sure. Yes. Is that something that a phone call and a raise and, like, you know, giving you the keys to coach your alma mater, a school I would assume you still love, Is that something that you like? You can't over, like, is getting fired that one time enough to burn all those bridges? Maybe. I don't know. I don't know exactly what happened. I don't know how Heupel feels. I know in the past he said it was a blessing because it led to, you know, where he's been. And that was when he was at UCF, I think, where he was like, basically like, yeah, I don't have any problem with, you know, Oklahoma firing me because it led me here. And it's something you say to make people happy. And like, oh, I want to be here. Like, I mean.
Bob Stoops isn't making the hire, though, right?
Like, he's going to have big influence, I would say. Now, you know, their AD went out and, you know, I think hit a home run in their basketball coaching search as they went and got Mosier from Loyola. Like, that was that's a stud coach. I don't know how much influence Stoops has, but Stoops is obviously going to be around the program. So, like, I mean, I would say a lot of the people that are still at Oklahoma now are, like, were there in the, you know, mid-2010s whenever Heupel was there. So, I mean, I would say the ties are still there. I don't know how far the list, you know, down the list he is. I don't know what his interest would be. I think the most likely scenario here is that, like, Josh Heupel's agent's job got a lot easier.
Yeah.
And, like, Danny White maybe can have – does this, relieve some pressure on Danny White? Now he's like, hey, I'm going to give Josh Heupel a raise, but we kind of had to. Yeah, he won 7 games, but also, like, you know, there was some coaching interest for him to go to Oklahoma. We had to make a commitment to him. Josh came to me and said he wanted to be here but needed some extra money. We had to show him that. He told us he wanted to be here, and we had to tell him the same thing. So here's your new, you know, basically $1.5 million raise. I would be surprised at this point if Josh Heupel is making less than $5.5 million next year.
Just because of this. Just because of the leverage and the season. Potentially have. We don't even know if Oklahoma's actually going to go after him.
But I think the fact that it's open is enough leverage if you're Josh Heupel's agent. If you're worth your weight in salt, like, you come to Tennessee now and be like, hey, let's – you know, there's some interest from Oklahoma, blah, blah, blah. Then Danny has to say, well, what's it going to take to keep you happy and all that. And, you know, I don't have a problem if Josh Heupel gets a raise. I would like the buyout to not, you know, balloon up and make it impossible to fire this guy in 3 or 4 years if it doesn't work out. Like, that's always the mistake ADs make. But I have no problem if he gets his salary bump from $4 million to $5.5 million. I got no problem with that. I have no problem with that.
So how do you feel if Oklahoma hires Heupel? What it's a disaster or what?
I mean, it would be kind of humbling that, like, you're still a stepping stone, but, like, the two times you've had a coach leave, it's been to go back to their quote unquote home. I mean, not Kiffin's home wasn't USC, but that's where, you know, where he cut his teeth, and I mean that was a homecoming is the way he, you know, spun it to everybody. Heupel, like, if Heupel was to say, you know what, Oklahoma called and I want to come home, you would just have to say okay. At least, like, do it now in the next week or so before, like, you know, the early signing period. Although, like, at this point, Tennessee would be screwed there. But it's not like their recruiting class is really
already,
like,
screwed anyway.
Sure. I mean, it would suck just because it feels like you have built at least enough excitement to carry you through 2022. Right? Like, we've talked about it. Like, this team's goal should be to finish second in the East next year, win – I mean, realistically, you should be aiming to win 10 games. Punt Alabama, Georgia, like, we should win every other one is how I feel if I'm in that locker room and if I'm Josh Heupel. Now, you know, would we settle for 9 wins? Absolutely. 8-4 would probably be pretty happy with 2. But you got your quarterback in place. There's some real buzz around you getting that Jahmyr Gibbs guy down from Georgia Tech who would, you know, basically come in and take over Tyon Evans' role and do it better than him. Like, he's a stud. Everyone down at Georgia Tech thinks he wants to transfer here. He's leaving Georgia Tech, wants to stay close to home. He's from Dalton. Knoxville to Dalton's not that far of a drive. You can make that in a day easily. So, like, I think it would be a disaster from that perspective, Hayden, because it does seem like, you know, year one was a success and you can build on something and actually have a pretty good year two.
We need stability right now, but, like, the recruiting things kind of just really bother me for this year. Like,
sure.
Kevin ain't recruiting. Chadwell, I mean.
I mean, I don't know if Chadwell's going to recruit better here. I don't know, you know, like, you know, Kiffin's not even recruiting at Ole Miss right now.
Oh, Kiffin, too. That's two names right there I like better.
I mean, it would be the same. You would have the same three names in this coaching cycle. Like, if Heupel was to leave, you would look and say, well, Kiffin's still available, Hugh Freeze is still available, and Jamie Chadwell is still available. Like, it would be all three of those guys. You'd run it back. Sonny Dykes, unavailable. Although there was, like, a last-ditch report yesterday that, like, actually Oklahoma's interested in Sonny Dykes, and Sonny Dykes is interested in Oklahoma. He hasn't signed the papers at TCU yet. I'm like, what the hell has Sonny Dykes got over everybody? They just look at his wife and be like, this guy's got something. His wife is very attractive.
But, like, no joke, though. If I'm Oklahoma and I strike out on the big names, I kind of like Chris Klieman and Lance Leopold, what they've done at their programs the first 2 years. I think they're both really good coaches. I think Lance Leopold's a good coach, and I mean he runs a goofy offense, and it's exciting, and it's kind of like Chadwell's offense with a really quick running quarterback and a lot of motion and stuff like that. And Klieman's a good coach too.
The problem is, if you're Oklahoma, do you bite the bullet there and say we're hiring, you know, former D2 guys?
I guess Klieman would be FCS, and
that's what I mean, like FCS, not D2, but FCS, and like,
or
Buffalo's coach, I guess. I mean,
Leopold was D2, right. Mount Union, yeah,
right. So, I mean, I guess, you know, he went to Buffalo too, but like, do you bite the bullet there and say we're going to poach one of the Kansas coaches? That'd be tough. That'd be a fall from grace if you are Kansas.
I think he's done more for that program than anybody else.
Oh, sure. He beat Texas. I mean, he almost beat Oklahoma. I mean, like,
yeah,
almost beat Oklahoma, and he beat Texas. Like, but I'm just saying, like, really, we hired Kansas coach? That'd be tough if you're Oklahoma. Let's go to break. We'll come back. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. In another case of how Oklahoma fans are coping right now, on their message boards, we got a thread going. Who's worse, Riley or Satan? I've been trying to decide over the last hour. So far, I have 5 reasons why Riley is worse than Satan. Number 1, Satan doesn't hide who he is, so you know what you're getting. Number 2, this might be a good one, Satan isn't afraid of competition. I guess Satan was willing to go head-to-head with the big guy.
Yep.
Number 3, even though they are both damned to hell at this point, Satan is less whiny. Number 4, Satan is more decisive. Number 5, Satan wouldn't live in California. Okay.
What the hell do Oklahoma fans expect? Like, this happens, man. In fact, I'm more for coach movement. If you want to leave, just leave.
Hasn't happened to them since 1947. And
I get that. Whatever. That's fine. But it's like, what do you want? What did you want him to do? Did you want him to just say at the beginning of the season, hey, like, I'm going to leave because I know I'm never going to maybe win a national championship here? Like, what do you want him to say?
I just don't think this happens. Like, there aren't very many coaches that go Power 5 to Power 5, really. I mean, especially at good situations. Yeah. Like, again, I don't know who we would even point to. I mean, Jimbo did it, but Jimbo kind of ran Florida State into the ground and overstayed his welcome. Kiffin did it after a year, but like outside of that, like I don't. Like Dan Mullen went from Mississippi State to Florida, but again, that had a feeling of like going home, mm-hmm. and was like a step up in program, like a clear step up in programs from Mississippi State to Florida. Like I don't know who else has really done it.
Leach did it from Washington State to Mississippi State.
Right? Okay. Yeah. And I mean that to me is a pretty parallel move program wise. I mean, I guess Mississippi State's better than Washington State just by default of like being in the SEC. But
I mean, Washington State was god awful before Leach got there. Right?
Sure,
like there was no interest in football whatsoever.
Right. I mean, I'm sure the money was significantly different as well. And but I mean, like there just aren't very many instances of this. Mm-hmm. You either go Group 5 or coordinator for the most part. Especially if you look at like the big names, like Urban Meyer was retired, Nick Saban was in the NFL, Dabo was a coordinator they just promoted. Like I mean, all the guys there just kind of. Now there's been like some stepping stones, like Michigan State to LSU, but that's been 20 years ago. Les Miles going from Oklahoma State to LSU,
mm-hmm.
that's been 15 years ago. What's he saying, that Caleb Williams is going to go to USC? I mean, the one-time transfer rule is going to make this very interesting because, now there could be just a complete free-for-all on Oklahoma's roster.
Yeah.
Either, by going and following Lincoln Riley to USC or by, just going somewhere else. Poor Wanya and Eric Gray and Key Lawrence, like they already used their one-time transfer, so they just got to kind of rot it out there. Sure. Yeah, I mean, poor him. He's just going there to be second string.
People talking about how USC's quarterback will be leaving.
Turn your mic on.
It's on.
Is it?
Is the knob turned up?
Yeah, it's on.
Okay.
Did y'all see USC's quarterback this weekend?
No, I didn't see any. I didn't see anything at USC. I haven't. The thing is, like, USC.
Slovis, we still, is Slovis still their quarterback? Who the hell's their quarterback?
USC has been completely irrelevant all year. Like, yeah. I haven't thought about them at all until yesterday. Like, they have been pretty irrelevant.
They came on after the Oklahoma State game. We still had it on the same channel.
Uh huh.
And the quarterback, like, has a.
I'm not picking up anything for.
How loud is that turned up? Because it's not registered on the podcast either. Your mic is on. I can see it.
Yeah.
Is it plugged in? Let's try to plug it in. But I'm not going to blame you there because I can't see the microphone actually being on. But let's try again. Testing.
There we go.
Okay.
Is that working?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, so their quarterback this weekend had a like a eye black stick, like a warrior paint, like cutting across his eye. And he's like a 18-year-old, like blonde white guy. It's just funny to me.
I was getting smacked by BYU.
Yeah,
it was, I mean,
literally. Yeah.
Seems like a weird school to do it against, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I feel like, you know, BYU's always got the guys with all the actual, like, war paint.
Yeah, they just paint their whole face.
Yeah. Silly season is here. It could, you know, take a couple more spins, too. Tennessee might be affected. You know, Baylor. I guess that should have been a red flag was, like, when Dave Aranda was like, no, I'm going to stay at Baylor. I don't want to go to LSU. I don't want to be a consideration for this job. Baylor, of all places. Ooh. Hour one of Talk Sports is brought to you by the book at Harris Cherokee. Taking some championship weekend sports betting live and in person. Make the trip up to Harris Cherokee. Take advantage of their 90-foot viewing area or check out one of their private fan caves for you and your friends. We appreciate them for their support. Hour one of the books. We kick off hour two of headlines. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.